elk hunting. You know, save on gas, took out the back seat, slept in it. Felt a little bit small going up the logging roads and, the guys going by in their big 4x4s and stuff. And here we're up these logging roads and got up to the top of one of the highest hills and ran a rock through my oil filter. And, 20 miles to the nearest parts store. So had some hitchhiking experience there. And anyways, I wasn't here, but Randy said something about some orange juice. And I looked in his fridge in his office, and there's orange juice in there. And he didn't tell me the whole story, but it's pretty good. He said he was mixing up an orange Julius or something. It's pretty good. Did he have you guys try it? Or I mean, it tastes, there's just a little hint of dog food taste in it. I mean, I know that because how many people here have ever tried dog food? Come on, it's one of those things most of you have, but you don't want to admit it, right? It smells, you know, I'm talking about canned dog food, okay? Smells like pot roast, you know, so this smells like it would be really good. I've given it a try before. That's why we put salt on our food, okay? Because it actually gives it flavor, okay? All right, anyways, if you weren't here, Randy took some, I don't know what word was appropriate for him to use in church, some dog scat, some dog remains. Well, that could mean a lot of things. And he mixed it into the orange juice, okay? Kind of just a reminder of the lies that we believe, right? That just a little bit of that mixed in there, and we drink it down, and sometimes we don't even taste it. But then we walk in it for a while. So we're going to be looking at, you also, if you remember, you took a survey of the different lies that you believe. And we had about 35 lies on this sheet of paper, common after surveying some people. And we got the results back from those. So we're going to be taking a look at those. But as a reminder, let's go ahead and play that first clip. Yeah, these stories only begin to touch the depth of what we're dealing with. They only begin to touch the depth of what the lies that we identified. The statistics are pretty grim. Okay, I had the task of going through those and kind of coming up with some percentages with the other pastors. This is serious stuff. This is a really serious message this morning with a decision that we each need to make as we head forward in this series. So we definitely need to do some prayer. I'm going to grab this stool, not for now, but for when my legs start to get tired. But as we pray, could everybody just stand up, please? Let's just, like I said, we're going to need to make some choices this morning. And it's going to involve some action on our part as well. So, Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for every person in this room. Thank you that that you have called us here this morning. All the different places we could have been, things we could have been doing, and you brought us here. And you know the lies that we've been walking in and we've been believing. And according to the statistics, just about every person in this room is. Except for maybe two. So, Lord, would you take us in this morning? Right now, it's not tackling all the lies, getting all the solutions, and figuring it all out. Right now, it's just deciding what we want to do with the fact that we are believing things about ourselves that are not true. And they're changing the course of our lives from what it should be. Would you come in, Lord, this morning and speak to every heart in this room what they need to hear from you as we look at this. And we just right now do warfare in Jesus' name. We cast out any voices, anything the enemy is trying to do to support those lies, anything right now that he's trying to speak to shut people off from letting you in, seeing the significance of what's going on in their hearts. We shut all that down in Jesus' name. We have that authority in you, God. And so we walk in freedom right now. This room is cleared. Holy Spirit, you are here already. You reside in us. And let us hear your voice this morning. Just let us hear your voice. I know that that will do wonders to break down these lies. Bring your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys can sit down. Man, that clip, I can't stand watching that because it's like, why does she let him put his hand on her face? It's like, smack him, kick him somewhere, do something. And as I watched it again this morning, and I wasn't even going to show that until this morning when I got up, and Jonathan had gotten that ready for me to at least look at him. Isn't that what we do with these lies? You know, these lies that we identified? I mean, don't we let the enemy put his hand on our cheek when we choose to walk in those and to hold on to those? It's disturbing. But I know I've found myself doing it at times, letting myself be wooed like that. And why does the enemy use this tactic? Why does he use lies? Why does he try to shut us down? He's the father of lies. He's very good at it. He's very good at it. As we get into statistics here, we're going to see how good he is. I know a lot of you. I know your walk with God is strong. And yet, the master of lies has snuck some in undercover. And we're biting on him. Okay? This is a scene from Narnia, where Aslan has this kingdom, but this white witch is kind of ruling things. Her tactic is she'll touch these warriors who are fighting on Aslan's side and freeze them. You can see them frozen, and she displays them in her courtyard like trophies. And it's a really interesting, C.S. Lewis was just an amazing man, amazing Christian writer, and he wove into these Narnia stories so much truth. Because they weren't actually dead, right? Later in the story, Aslan comes and he breathes on them and breathes life into them, and they come back to life. You see some of the pictures with us. I mean, why does the enemy want us stone and not able to move? There's probably something about who we are that he understands. He never wants us to get there. He never wants us to get to the depth of what he knows about us. So let's look at the survey results so we kind of have something to go off of for the rest of this time. Basically, we took all the 35 you had. Remember, you chose 1 to 4. 3 and 4 being, let's see, I got, if you chose 3, it was, this lie is a regular battle. I often feel under its power. Okay, that was a 3. 4 is, you don't understand this. I'm going to read my own writing. You don't understand, this doesn't feel like a lie, it just feels true. Okay, so we looked at all the 3s and 4s. 3 is, you're regularly under this, okay? 4 is, it's just, you're sold out. This is true about me, okay? So here's the top 5 that, you know, there's a bunch just under 33% too, right in there. But the 5th most popular, most chosen lie that we're believing is, you are not doing enough to please God. You disappoint him. That was one of my 3s. Okay? You will never be a big player in God's story is number 4. Think about the strategy in these. I mean, these are the most popular ones. Can you see any strategy to the enemy and why he would go here? If the things that are most popular are most across the board. You cannot hear God. That's a big one. If he can cut that out, we're never going to realize the fullness of life that God has for us and for his kingdom. You cannot break old habits. Okay? Second most popular. This was, if you break it down, you guys, we had a place where you could choose gender. Men, this was their top lie. They were all close to 50% of the men. Close to half of the men checked this one. Cannot break old habits. Number one lie in this survey, if you really step out, you will fail. And this just happens to be the women's most popular one. Over 50% of the women check this one. Okay, if you really step out, you will fail. And then there was a few, there was actually quite a few handwritten ones. Boy, Jeff, you got this baby locked in here. A couple handwritten ones that I wrote down that kind of jumped out to me. God doesn't think I can mother my daughter well enough. Somebody wrote in there. It was a place to write in if we didn't quite capture what you've been hearing. What about this one? You won't be needed to do anything for God here, so you will die soon. You're not really needed. You're just kind of taking up space, so you're probably going to just pass along. Move out of the way for somebody else. I mean, how can those statements affect how we're living for God? And here's the most alarming part, though. You're thinking, okay, 45%, half of us. How many of us marked a lie 3 or higher? Okay? So, of 174 people who filled this out and turned it in and marked male or female, okay? So, how many of them marked a 3 or higher, 3 or 4? This lie is a regular battle. I often feel under its power. 94%. Okay? So, it was basically of the stack that we counted, there were 6 people who didn't mark higher than a 2. So with 3 services, you can figure there's 2 people in here who don't have a 3 or a 4. And that's at least 1 3 or 4, but I'm telling you, some of those papers were full of 4s, full of 3s. Down, you know, multiple, 5, 6, 8. You don't understand, this doesn't feel like a lie, it just feels true. How many people had a 4 or higher? Well, it doesn't go any higher. 49% marked at least 1. Okay, so half of us are believing at least 1s. Some of us multiple lies that they're just true. No, this is just true of me. I can't hear God. If I step out, I'll fail. Okay? I'm just taking up space. God doesn't believe in me. You know, that's just true. Really? So we wanted to take like the top 5 or 6 of these and in the next weeks to come, kind of tackle one at a time and together look at how do we, what do we do with this? And BJ's done this with the youth in kind of armoring the youth and helping them to grow out of these lies and step into being warriors. And they're kind of the culmination of that is this retreat they're at this weekend. But when we told him kind of what we were planning to do, he said, well, hold on. What we needed to, we found out we needed to do with the youth was really to ask them where they're at. Like, are they at a crossroads in their life? Okay? Are they at a place where this information is just going to go over their head? Or are they ready to engage in it? Because there's actually damage that can be done if we start into this and you guys are kind of checked out. I mean, time has shown us that we can hold on to these lies for a long time, right? The lies that we were checking on there weren't just from last week. Okay? Some of them were 10, 20, 50 years old that we've been believing. And so we've obviously been making a choice to some level to continue to believe those lies, okay? Continue to engage them. And so it's kind of like, you know, to give you a bad analogy, you drop a vase and the glass goes all over the floor and you're sweeping it up and you're picking it up and you get a shard of glass up under your fingernail. Big shard of glass. Oh, man! Oh, this hurts. You ever got anything stuck up under your fingernail? Woohoo! You get on the phone, you call the doctor, right? I got this shard of glass. I think I'm going to pass out. It hurts so bad. He's like, just relax. Just relax. All I want you to do is get some tweezers, some hydrogen peroxide. Now, don't sue me if you go home and do this and you still get an infection. Hydrogen peroxide, pull it out with the tweezers, clean it out, put a Band-Aid on it. Oh, thanks, doc. You hang up. Whoo, man, this hurts. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to get into the medicine cabinet here. There's got to be something I can take to kill this pain. Oh, gosh. Ooh, hey, it feels a little bit better. Okay, this is good. Man, I can't get my mind off it, though. I'm going to watch a movie or something. Okay, I'm just going to watch a movie, get my mind off it. Oh, man, I'm watching this movie, but there's got to be some work I can do around the house. I'm going to go outside and see if I can find something to do to keep my mind off of it. Just pull it out, okay? Now, obviously, the analogy is hard to swallow because it's not just so easy sometimes to just pull the lie out, right? But if that's where we're at, that we're not gonna engage with God in what the solution is and what the cure is to these lies, then it almost does damage because we hear the solution, we hear the truth of God, and we do nothing with it. And the next time we hear the truth, I've heard that. Nothing happened. I'm still struggling with this lie. It's not breaking anything. I've heard all this. And each time you hear it the next time, I've heard it. But it was our choice whether to engage or not. And that has a lot to do with what the fruit is that comes out of it, is our part in engaging. So this is the question that we're faced with, is the engaging part. Are we going to engage? And it's really coming down to, am I all in? Now, you may say, I'm all in. I came to Christ. I'm following Him. But we've identified that, save but two of you, and I include myself in with the larger group, are believing some lies about ourselves, right? So we're choosing to be led by something that's not of God. So we all have an opportunity here as we head into this series to be all in at a new level. Okay? In my experience with God, all in has been at different times in my life and my walk with God. It wasn't just a one-time thing. I'd like to believe that. And at the time, it sure was, and it sure felt like it. But then God goes deeper. Yes, all in, and He takes what I give. He takes what I offer until we come up to the next wall. And He says, now, are you ready to go deeper? Let's play that next clip. We'll cut it there. Yeah. What did Neo get himself into there? And what was Morpheus offering him? The truth. Okay, come on, Jeff. This is ridiculous. You know, Morpheus, Matrix. What kind of... I need this a little closer so I can read it. What kind of life does Jesus call us into? The truth, yeah. I mean, but he wasn't like wearing a leather jacket and mirrored glasses and shaved head and holding out two pills. And come on. I mean, does Jesus call us to a radical life? Yeah, I mean, what are the examples we have? Let's look at a few examples of how Jesus basically did this with the people he encountered on earth, right? Calling the first disciples, we see in Matthew chapter 4. He calls Peter and Andrew. I mean, it says that they were casting a net into the lake. And when he calls them, you know, it's like he's standing there probably waiting for them. I'm going to wait until they get their nets all the way out in the water. And they're like, whoosh, they throw their nets out. He's like, hey, guys, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they walk away, leave their nets. I don't know, they left the nets in the water maybe. They're just like, follow him. And then in that same passage, it talks about James and John are out preparing their nets with their dad. Family business, okay? And Jesus says, come follow me. And he leaves his father in the business, and he goes and he follows Jesus. Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. He gets up, he's sitting in his booth. I mean, he's in work. I clean windows. I'm imagining myself up on the top of a ladder and a real nice squeegee curve going, and I hear this tap on the ladder, right? Hey! I look down. Leave your squeegee and follow me. Right? Oh, okay. You just throw it, you know, throw it on the roof of the house or whatever and take off with Jesus. He was pretty radical. Sometimes we don't let our minds go there to what these men had to do. How all in they had to be to leave their livelihood, to follow him, to leave their family. A couple other examples. There's the story of when the one man, Jesus said, follow me, and he said, let me go back and bury my father first. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. And then in that same passage, another man comes up to him and says, I will follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my family. And he says, don't put your hand to the plow and look back. And those are disturbing verses for me, because like, come on, you know. Family member dies and you just leave them? Or I think God was wanting to disturb. He was wanting to raise the issue of, is there any reasons, excuses that we can come up with that we can put before being a disciple of Christ, before following him? Is there anything we can get in the way? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Left a, what did you say, $250,000 job? So what you're telling me is Jesus hasn't changed? Okay. Absolutely. Some of the other examples, thank you for sharing that. Some of the other examples, there's the treasure and the pearl. You know, the man who found the treasure, and he found treasure on land, went back, sold everything he had to buy that land. You know, what's it worth? Everything you have. Think of everything you own and just getting rid of it just to buy that, just to have heaven, just to have a relationship with God. or the pearl. You know, the merchant looking for a pearl, he found one of great value and he got rid of everything else. He's a merchant. He probably had all kinds of jewels just to get that one. And then one other we'll look at together up here. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." I was looking at a commentary by John Gill, and he brought up an interesting conversation about this, about self-preservation, how we live in self-preservation and how there's no room for self-preservation. There's no room for that attitude in following Christ. You can observe, like an animal in the wild when it's wounded, it completely changes its habits. It changes where it goes. It looks for water. It looks for shelter. Everything is about survival at that point. It's not going about the natural course of a day that a healthy animal would do. And I think that we act much the same way when we look at these areas of these lies in our lives. It sucks us into a self-preservation mode because we know, gosh, this is true about me. How can I arrange my circumstances so I never have to run into that, or nobody ever has to see that because I know it's true? And it begins to change how we live and the choices that we make, and it gets bigger and bigger. So coming back to this picture, it really comes down to, I think, the choice that we need to make with whether we're going to address these lies. The choice that we need to make is, who are we going to let direct us? Because we've made a choice for Christ. If you made a choice for Him to be your Lord and to lead you, who's really leading us when we're in that place of that lie? When we're believing God doesn't hear me, God doesn't speak to me, if I step out, I'll be a disappointment. Okay, I'm not doing enough for God. I'm not really worth anything here, so I'm probably just going to die. I mean, don't we allow some leadership? Don't we allow Satan to lead us in some ways? And we're doing that. So there's a choice here of leadership. So I think, you know, if we accomplish anything this morning in our hearts and our walks with God, we want to accomplish being in a place, we want to get to a place where we're ready to totally surrender to God's leadership again. I mean, do we really believe that once we do that in the beginning, that there's never a deeper level of understanding, a deeper realization of how that plays out in our lives? I know for me, since I got a mic and I'm standing up here in front of all you, I can share some of my dirt. When I, first few years of my walk with God, I spent heavily drinking problem. Okay? I was headed towards alcoholism. First, probably 3 years of being a Christian. And I, you know, there's so many lies that got rooted during that period of time. Because I had the problem before I came to Christ. But it probably developed even more in those first few years. There was a greater level, a greater depth of the lordship that I needed to give to God in that. And in that time, lies got established. You're different. Okay, other people give their life to Christ, but you're holding on to this. Your salvation hasn't been decided yet. Okay? It's kind of out there. And you probably pushed it too far now. A few years into this walking with God thing, you had your chance to leave this. And I tried a few times. Went back to it. Still looking for life in that. And so you're exempt from being saved, is what it turned into. And so I struggled with doubt. I struggled with self-worth. Okay? I'm a disappointment to God. And I came to a point, though, where I just decided, you know what? If I'm going to believe the Bible to be true, and there is a ton a ton of evidence in the Bible for our identity, the truth about us. And I just basically was choosing not to believe it. I had to choose not to believe it to continue in what I was doing, continue to believe the lies that I was being fed about myself. I came to a place where I was ready to believe, whether I could understand it or not, whether I could feel it with my emotions or not, decided to start believing what God said about me. And I laid that down. I remember the night sitting on my stairs in a house out in Gold Bar, and I remember laying that down and saying, God, there's, you know, I had a list of places I was looking for life. Okay? Lust of the flesh, the drinking, all these different things. Those were my sources. And I laid them all down. And I said, God, I'm going to believe that there's life to be found in you and that you don't really see me the way that I think you do. I can't understand that. I can't feel it right now, but I'm going to believe it. And I started to walk with God in that. I also started to walk with some people and opening up more and sharing this kind of second life that I was living, because I was involved in a college group at that point, which was actually started and led by now my wife, Star. We weren't dating or anything during this time. But she was a big help to me as far as just from, as a friend, in me saying, this is how I feel about myself. This is what I believe about God and forgiveness. And her being able to speak that truth. Some guys, you know, in my life were speaking truth into me in this group, this college group. So I started to believe it, but that was a crossroads point for me where I decided I'm going to start to believe the truth. Okay? I'm going to start to believe that these lies are not true. Maybe these lies aren't true. They feel so true, but maybe they're not. Okay? I'm just sharing that with you because I'm just like any one of you. Okay? I'm not nervous in sharing that because I know we all got stories. We do. Change the details, change the ages, change the names, but we all have stories. We all have our reasons why we should continue to believe lies. Okay? Another crossroads for me was when I started coming here about 6 years ago. And I realized that, and now that at that point, that was after about 4 years of full-time ministry in missions, and I came here, and I kind of figured, you know, I kind of had it all figured out. You know, I kind of had my life figured out, and I came here, and the group, the men's group, was just starting in on a series that basically walked you into some of the lies you believe about yourself and where to go from there. And I resisted at first, and then I started to open up with some of these guys, and I started to realize I was operating and functioning out of some pretty serious lies about myself still. Some of them had developed from being in ministry that the enemy took and said, okay, if you're going to go that route, I'll develop these things for you to believe, and you can function out of that. Anything to tie our hands. And so that was a crossroads time for me where I said, you know what? I admit it. I'm believing some stuff that just isn't true. And it is holding me back from bringing the kingdom of God to this world. Okay? I constantly think about how short our life is here on earth, right? It really is short. We get so wrapped up in the daily stuff that we forget that. And just feels like it's going to go on forever. But if we think in terms of eternity, it's a blink of the eye. I don't want to spend it locked up. I don't want to spend it stone frozen in areas of my life as I try to walk with God and experience not just life to the full for myself, but be on mission with Him. You know, if we're raising up an army here at Adventure, we want to be on mission with Him. We can't be the army in the witch's courtyard. We're not going to get very far. So, this morning, we wanted to provide you with an opportunity to make a decision. And right now, some of you may, you're in your minds, you may be going to, okay, this is nice, but, you know, I checked a couple lies on there. I know that they're lies, and I'll just try to deal with them. But you did mark that they generally have control over you most of the time. I've got a few. Like I said, some of mine were I'm not doing enough for God. Another one of mine is I'm not smart enough. What are yours? Think about it. And what we want to do this morning, before we head into the next few weeks of taking some of these lies, and we may not take your number one lie and go over that, but you're going to get a lot of understanding of how you even begin to do battle against these and break free of them and live in the truth. So what it's going to take, though, why did I even make these notes? I'm not following them. What it's going to take, though, is it's going to take repentance, because we do have responsibility for what we've been believing about ourselves. We do have responsibility for turning our back on God's truth. Yes, the enemy plays a part in that. Yes, we are victims to some degree, but that's not all of it. We can't just walk in victim mentality and all this happened to me, and so I believe this about myself, and I'll never amount to anything. If we continue in that, the enemy's got us down. But we've got to take responsibility for what we believed about ourselves that isn't true. And each one of those crossroad points in my life, that's where I had to go to. God, I'm sorry for living like I'm worth nothing. It's like spitting on the cross. You died, you shed your blood for me. And you've shown how much I'm worth to you. And what do I do with it? I believe all this junk that the enemy feeds me. I believe that over what you showed me on the cross about who I am and what I'm worth. Okay, so there's repentance. And there's surrender then. Like I said, it's not this emotion of feeling like it's true. I had to make a decision. What you say about me, God, is the truth. Like I said, the Word is full of it. The Bible is full of all these truths about who we are in Christ, how He sees us, what He's calling us up to. I mean, some of the stuff that I discovered at my crossroads points as I go deeper and deeper with God is that Christ came to completely set us free, and He won't stop until we live in that truth. He won't stop with me. He came to completely set me free. He won't go, just doing pretty good. I advanced there with Him. I'm going to leave Him for now. There's other people who don't even know me. No, He keeps going. Life to the full. Set the captives free. Release from darkness for the prisoners. And the other thing I've experienced in my crossroads moments is that He's calling us up to live a life of impact and significance on earth for His kingdom. He's calling us up to something greater. John 14:11-13, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So, I mean, is God calling us up to more? Are you doing what Jesus did and even more? If you're not yet, then there's more life that He's calling you up to. There's something greater that He's calling you up to, because He said we'd be doing the things He did when He walked the earth, and more. So there's more. So we wanted to provide a visual for you guys of the decision that you're going to make regardless. Okay, we could just head into this series. You're going to make a decision in your heart of whether you're going to engage and go after these lies that you've identified, or you're just going to kind of roll over in bed. Oh, yeah, I know. I think I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything. God doesn't speak to me. But I believed that for years, so why engage in it now? So you're going to make that decision. You guys want to start passing those. So since you're going to make that decision one way or the other, or I'm going to engage in this, I'm going to go after these things, we're just going to do it outwardly so that you can see what decision you're going to make. Because it's really important for us before we go forward that you understand what you're going to gain out of the series that's to come, out of the walk with God that's to come, based on your decision today. So you're going to get a packet, and you can go ahead and rip that open, but don't do anything with the contents yet. You're going to pass those out. What are you finding in there? Is there a red pill and a blue pill? I'll let you guys get those for you. Don't eat them yet. You want to get all the instructions, or you might have melting metal start to grow on your hand. You want to do this right. Okay, so you got the two. I would suggest you put one in each hand. Okay? Now don't do like I did on my high school graduation ceremony. You know, when you throw the hat in the air, and I had my diploma and my hat, one in each hand. They're like, yeah, and everyone throws their hat, and I accidentally threw my diploma up in the air. Then I'm searching for it like, I don't want to do high school again. So know which hand you got there, okay? Red and blue. So just, you know, this is symbolic, okay? This is, like I said, it's us recognizing where our hearts are at and what's going on inside. And so we're just kind of bringing it to the outside. It's for yourself, too, okay? So the red pill, taking the red pill, which is a red jelly belly, just so you know, I'm not giving you guys medication or anything, trying to brainwash you or something. I'm all in. Okay, red pill. I'm all in. The lies I marked on the sheet are holding me back. Okay? All but two of you marked lies on there that are holding you back. I'm not one of the two. I am going to seek God's leadership to destroy them and replace them with the truth about me, letting God lead my beliefs about myself. Okay? That's red pill. Blue pill. Okay, blue pill is, I'm going to roll over in bed. I'm just going to keep going. The course I was on, I understand I got these lies, but I'm always going to have them, and I'm just going to surrender to the truth of those lies. That's taking the blue pill. Okay? So I'm going to lead us in some prayer, and during that time, feel free to make your decision about what you want to do. Okay? If you're allergic to food coloring or something, you can make the decision in your heart, right? Like I said, this is symbolic. Yeah, let's just do it. So, Lord, I don't care what the enemy tries to say about stuff like this. This is insignificant. This isn't really happening. This isn't... You can't make a crossroads moment happen. Yeah, you can. You can. You can decide to change things right now. It starts by deciding to fight. It starts with repentance. So, those of us who want to, those of us who are ready to repent right now, we just lay down. I lay down the lie that I'm not smart enough. Do I have things still to learn? Absolutely. But you don't view me as stupid, God. Okay, I lay down the lie that I'm disappointing you. You're calling me up to more as I serve you, as I walk with you. But you're not disappointed. I please you. Thank you, God. Would you please forgive me for believing those things? For letting those things even shape, even influence my decisions about what I do. Anybody in this room, you know, just before God in your hearts, what things are you believing? Just repent of them. Say the truth. Forgive us, Lord. We're not being led by your spirit when we're in that place. And Lord, we surrender to your truth. We surrender to the truth that you want to lead us into about who we are. We surrender to your word. We can't pick and choose. Your word is truth. Even the parts that talk about who we are in you. So we surrender to that, and we know this is going to be a journey to recover truth about who we are, about who you are, about what we believe about the people sitting around us right now. So we surrender to that. And we take this red jelly bean simply as a way to remember the decision that we made this morning. Just to say, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. And it's going to be tough. Because these lies have been hanging on for a long time. But Lord, we want you to come in and give us more life, more freedom. This is your mission. You came to set us free. Freedom from darkness. You live for this. You're passionate about this. You're ready to respond. Waiting for us. Waiting for our hearts to be all in. And so we come to you all in this morning and say, guide us. And frankly, I'm excited, Lord, in my own walk with you, to know that there's still more freedom to be gained. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you took the blue pill, keep the red one. Okay? Just keep it. Keep it in your pocket, let it get all covered with lint. And then maybe sometime later today you'll feel like you didn't make the right choice. Maybe when the lie pops back up this next week, you'll decide, no, I'm sick of this. There's gotta be more. There's gotta be more of a reason that Christ came and suffered for us than for me to walk tied, hands tied. Okay? If you took the red pill, you still have the blue pill there, please don't just eat it on the way out because it's a jelly bean you don't want to throw it away. Give it as an offering to God. We've got the offering basket in the back there. Drop it in there. Say, I'm giving up to God the option of choosing to just roll over. And go, oh well, I'm not going to engage in this. You know, maybe I'll be entertained for the next few weeks to come with the messages, but I'm not going to engage my own heart in finding more freedom. You're giving that up. Leave the jelly bean in the back there. Okay, well, let me just pray and close us up here. Like I said, this is just a decision Sunday for you guys, so you know how to engage in the weeks to come. If you came prepared to give, like the offering basket's in the back there, drop it in there with your jelly bean. Lord, thank you for this morning. I just pray over every person in this room. I pray for a blessing on the rest of this day, Lord. I pray that your truth would flow like a river in their hearts. God, when they read your word this week, there would be new life found in it. And reading it, knowing this is the truth, and just comparing it what they believe in their hearts about themselves. Does it match up? If it doesn't, that they would surrender to your spirit, matching all of that up in their hearts. Thank you, God. We look for more life this week with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody. If this is stirring stuff in you, you want to talk, you want some prayer, feel free to come up, sit in the front row here, and we can talk more about it. Have a great day.